Paul Lambert und Karl-Heinz Riehle 1:0 für Borussia Dortmund.
Alan McInerney, meine Damen und Herren.
Welcome back to another German Fitba podcast, and the Zweite Liga and the Dritte Liga well and truly opened us up to the German football season once again. Some cracking games on at the weekend. But first, George, you're back this week. Well, I'll give Colin his big introduction as the last one, but you're back this week, George. How are you doing? Happy with 1860?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. Probably wasn't the most convincing win at the weekend, but against a relegated side coming from the division above, it was a good result. A lot of good results across the board, a lot of exciting games, a lot of pretty poor games as well. But I think it was really good to see the fans back in the stadium. Some stadiums looking really full as well. So, yeah, it was a good weekend of German football.
Nice one. And Colin, you are back. You are finished with whatever Nicola Sturgeon had you doing last week that made you unavailable. You're here today. How are you doing, man? It's good to see you. Good to hear you.
It's great to be back. I feel like I'm going to be very rusty today because I've not talked on the podcast for nearly 2 months. But and you can, we can tell ourselves from the fact this is about our 10th attempt at an introduction. But, yeah, great to have the football back.
Yeah, I mean, I've got an excuse. I had to speak German all day, so me trying to speak English right now is really difficult, I'm not going to lie. But we just before we go into things, you didn't get to have your say on the whole UK TV deal. I just wondered if you had anything you wanted to add from last week, because you didn't get to mention it. Obviously, we'll talk about the games later, but unfortunately, you guys didn't get to see as much as, for instance, myself and Robert got to see. Disappointing for me to see what's happening at the moment, Colin, and you're hoping something's resolved fairly soon.
It's ridiculously, I mean, such a big game on Friday night, Schalke against Hamburg. Could it easily been a top Bundesliga game, but no one's showing it. You're almost reluctant to feel excited about the new Bundesliga starting because you don't know if you're actually going to be able to see it. It just feels like, I think so many fans at the moment just feel in limbo with the whole thing. There's been rumours that there is a deal, but it's embargoed, but expected an announcement last week before the Zweite Liga started. Nothing came, there's still been nothing. So I think even if there is a deal, I'm quite pessimistic about them showing second division games if there is a new broadcaster, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, no, it's good. I just wanted to get your opinion. I thought you'd be quite opinionated, especially the first thing you said there was whatever you said about it has been disgraceful. I thought you'd feel quite strong about it, so definitely disappointing that you guys didn't get to see much of the action of the weekend. I'll just have to talk about every game now. Of course, we won't go through every single game this week. But so I thought we'd kick things off this week. So we're going to chat a wee bit today about the fantasy football's back. So we'll go into that in a second. We'll speak about the Bundesliga managers. You know, George can give us his Swiss football knowledge once again. He gave us a great review last time we asked him about Gerardo Sione. And then we'll have a bit of a review over the first weekend in the Zweite and Dritte Liga before George leads us in a nice week with, which is probably hopefully a lot easier than Ronan's was last week. But first of all, I don't know if I'm completely giving you this, you guys, this unannounced. Did you see that they're making a Lewandowski documentary in Amazon? It's coming out next season. That's going to be a good one, isn't it? What do you think, Colin? Seeing the real Fußball Gott getting his own... his own feature length movie. He deserves the years he's had there.
I don't care about buying players. I want to see a documentary about Mike Wunderlich or something like that. And I know George wants to see that as well, I can tell.
We're all Mike Wunderlich fans here, aren't we, George?
Yeah, well, when you said there was a documentary about the real Fußball God, I was confused because I didn't know that there was a documentary coming out about Sascha Möller's. No, I can't. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the Man City documentary that was on Amazon, which I sort of found painfully cringy at times. I kind of not really into sports documentaries that just glorify players for no apparent reason and don't show the harsh reality of things. And I can unsurprisingly only echo what Colin said, that I've absolutely no interest in any buying players. So I probably won't be tuning into that one. We'll have a appointment, get my eyebrows waxed or something when that's on.
I was not expecting such a pessimistic view on this, and so maybe we'll cut this out, but we'll keep it. It'll be good fun to hear, get everyone to know that no one in the German football podcast likes Bayern Munich players. Well, apparently Lewandowski. If I have to pick my favourite player in the world, I'm picking Lewandowski. So maybe I'm a wee bit excited for it.
A Max Kruse documentary would be good. That's the documentary I want to see.
Well, maybe not after the German Olympic team going out the group stages today after a 1-0 draw with the Ivory Coast.
Yeah, I don't think that would make for the most exciting viewing, would it?
He'll go through his marriage proposal and then just skip all the games. And that was the only thing that happened in Tokyo for Max Kruse or so. But yeah, so I thought I'd add it in. You know, maybe people might be interested. Amazon are picking up. Not that we're sponsored by Amazon in any way. We could be. That'd be fun. But Amazon do have a documentary coming out about Robert Lewandowski, which I thought was quite interesting. Clearly, other people did not find that interesting. But maybe something that people will find interesting is that, I don't know if you guys noticed, but the fantasy football app is back up and running for the new season. All the new players are there, new prices are there. Are we all excited for fantasy football to come back and to be beaten by Ronan once again, Colin?
Sorry, but I'm gonna have another negative reaction to this. I'm not a huge fan of fantasy football. I preferred the predictor game. Wow. Then suddenly I got an email last week and they've ended the predictor game, which I was very disappointed with. I used to join Derek Ray's league and I think I finished quite high last season. But yeah. I can't this season have to make do with fantasy football.
Easily get that reaction because he finished bottom out the all the German football podcast employees, German football podcast contributors. No one gets paid here.
Don't think I made a transfer after about March. Like I probably had the same team from about March day 24 onwards.
Still had Andre Hahn after he had his first like good 8 games of the season and just kept him in for the rest of the team. But George, are you a big fantasy football fan yourself? You're looking forward to it. Don't think you were on the league last year. Are you joining it? Or are you also boycotting it with Colin this year? And we're going to have another pessimistic section of the podcast today.
Yeah, I'll be playing, but I can't say I'll be paying as much attention to it as some of the colleagues in the German football podcast. The predictor game the same as the tippspiel, because I liked playing the tippspiel last year. I think that involves
I don't really know the rules of the tippspiel, but the predictor game, so if you got a correct the exact score, you got 4 points. Then if you got like the correct difference between scores, 3 points, so on. Me and my brother used to play against each other.
I enjoyed playing that a few times last year, but then the weekend always kept creeping up on me too quickly and I kept forgetting to do it. Which will probably be the same for fantasy, to be honest. But I reckon we can knock Ronan off his crown.
I mean, Ronan won it from the German football perspective. It was actually Byron Hutchison from the DFL. He won it altogether. They didn't win anything. Like, I think he knows he won the league, but he didn't win anything. Maybe you can tell him, George. He won nothing, George's boss. But he won absolutely nothing. But yeah. If you want to join the league, it's just I think if you just search German football podcast, they'll come up. There was quite a good few folk in it last year. I say good few folk, there wasn't that many, but maybe we'll have more this year with Colin being so excited about it. He'll definitely get some new people involved. But yeah, so if you're interested in the fantasy game, we'll be running another league just to get things up and running for when the Bundesliga season officially starts next month. So let's get into the main part of the podcast for today. So we did mention about Bundesliga managers. Just getting into the new season, what's your guys' thoughts on some of the new... I mean, I think we exhausted this with last season when all the changes were happening. And I think everyone did. I think everyone mentioned the managers a lot. But like George, take you for example. Is there any of the new guys to you that just you think they might actually come in, have a good season and... It won't look like they've come in this season. They'll look like they've had a good, strong team. They've made a good team. Is there anyone that kind of floats your boat, as they will? Maybe it's Cerrone, you know, your Swiss football knowledge.
No, I won't be talking about him this time. I think I spoke about him to death last season.
I asked you a question about him when you never even mentioned his name. Talk about other things.
That's because I spend all my time talking about him, you know.
Yeah, of course.
No, I mean, towards the end of last season, and when all the new managers were changing around in the managerial carousel, was really starting to hurt my head, and it still is. And I'm still not entirely sure that I've got my head around. Is it only four of the Bundesliga managers that were there last season or started last season will be there in their post this year? But no, for me, as much as I sort of lament to talk about the football club in Leipzig, I find the appointment of Jesse Marsch quite interesting. To me, it seems much more of a safe bet, sort of keeping the style of football in-house, all sort of operating under the general Ralf Rangnick umbrella. I would have personally liked to have seen them maybe branch out a little bit more. I would have really liked to see them go for Pellegrini and Matarazzo, actually. Similar sort of background to Jesse Marsch, obviously, coming from America. I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to the transfers with Marsch. I mean, the sporting director, Markus Kosch, has gone to Eintracht Frankfurt. And as far as I'm aware, someone might tell me differently, but I don't actually think they've got in a new permanent sporting director. And the transfer situation or policy at Leipzig seems quite interesting. I mean, obviously, they've lost Upamecano and Konate. I don't personally think that will be as big of an issue as some people might like to think or might suggest, because I actually think that of those, of Konate, Upamecano, and Willy Orban, I'd say last year Orban at times was by far the most impressive to me. I think they're still going after Maxence Lacroix at Wolfsburg, but I'm not sure from what I've heard that that's going to be coming through. But obviously, the main thing that we said last year about Leipzig was their ability to score goals and how many points they lost from just not converting easy chances. I had a look back, and obviously, it is just the Austrian league, but Marsch's Red Bull Salzburg scored 110 goals in 34 matches two seasons ago, and 94 goals in the same amount of matches this season. So it's around about three goals a game average. And it would just be a question of whether, you know, with Broby coming in and obviously Andre Silva, if he can sort of create a style of football where he can get the best out of those players. I mean, Szoboszlai, I believe, hasn't made a competitive appearance yet. So it'd be interesting to see if, you know, and also Sorloth as well, if you can get the most out of him. So there's a lot of potential going forward. Hwang as well, he was so looked good towards the end of the season. So it'd be interesting to see if Marsch can get the most out of the sort of attacking potential at Leipzig and sort of solidify their work at the back.
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing that I like about Marsch coming in, and you saw a lot with Salzburg, is the, like, his willingness to learn the language. I think it was quite impressive. I think there was a famous one in the Liverpool dressing room where he spoke kind of like English. You know, he spoke a bit of both. It was like German and English at the same time. But I think now he's probably more fluent than most managers that would have to go abroad, especially being American as well. I think that's really impressive for him. So I'm looking forward to seeing him in the league this year. Colin, anyone that tickles your fancy this season that you're looking forward to seeing? Any managers that you're thinking of? Are you on the Swiss football board? Like, do you like Swiss football? Or you just, you know, are you going to go for someone else this time?
I think I'm more interested in the moves within the league. Between clubs of coaches, like Hütter moving to Gladbach, Glasner moved to Frankfurt, just the whole merry-go-round. Particularly Marco Rosa going to Dortmund. At the time it was announced, it did seem like it was a good appointment. Rosa having done so well with Gladbach, but so I think things have soured since then. It seems like Rosa's Gladbach had a poor season really last year, finishing eighth in the league, missing out on Europe. With Edin Terzic doing so well with Dortmund, really a whole lot of positive momentum towards the end of the season, winning the Pokal as well. Be interesting to see if Rosa can continue that, or really Dortmund take a downturn after it, because I think we said towards the end of last season that could lead to questions over whether Dortmund made the right decision. We're too hasty in choosing Rosa as the successor, the long-term successor to Favre, and Terzic could perhaps have been given a chance. So I'm particularly interested in seeing that. And I mentioned Hütter doing so well with Frankfurt. If he can continue that with Gladbach, you know, they had they had a poor season last year, but if anything, that it lowers the expectations a wee bit. I think they can really only go up from that point. I can't see them finishing as low as eighth again. You'd think, I mean, even a Europa League qualification this season coming would be an improvement. So it probably benefits Hooter in that way, that he won't have the distraction of European football, but also I think the team under him can only improve.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good one to look at. For me, I'm looking at maybe like, I know he's not new, but like Frank Kramer getting hopefully a full season under his belt at Bielefeld. It'll be quite interesting to see how he does, because he did well to take them out the relegation spots and eventually save them. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Who's the other one? Glasner and Van Bommel, have you got any opinions of them at the moment? Anyone like think Van Bommel's going to come in and do anything? Especially, I mean, he was at PSV recently. So, like, I'd say Wolfsburg is a big job for him to come into, no?
Yeah, I thought it was a quite strange appointment, personally. I mean, the main reason that Oliver Glasner left, as far as I'm aware, is because he fell out with the sporting director, Jörg Schmatke. But since Glasner's been announced, they've made some fairly impressive signings. I mean, I was talking last week about Lucas and Felix and Metscher, also signed Bornau from Köln, and probably a few others that I can't remember. And I'd really hope that Wolfsburg, in terms of the playing side, can sort of kick on from how they were last season, and in focusing on the sort of more attacking side of things, because before last year, I was always found them very boring to watch. But last year, when you had sort of Rita Baku pushing on all the time, they became a really impressive attacking team. And I hope that Van Bommel's lack of coaching experience doesn't kind of negate that, because they did become a really exciting team towards the end of last season, or for the majority of last season, which is why I kind of hoped that they might go a bit more ambitious with their choice of manager, or a manager that's proven to be able to play a more attacking style of football. But because Van Bommel, like you said, remains fairly untested, he's only had one real managerial job. So it'll be interesting to see if what he can do with that Wolfsburg side. I mean, like I just said as well, keeping Lacroix for another season seems a really big step in the right direction, because he's likely going to be one of the best centre-halves in the league if he doesn't make the move elsewhere. So from a personnel point of view, they've definitely got a lot of potential, and he just needs to get the most out of them, I think.
Yeah, 100%. I think the last job he was at was, you know, the UAE, the United Arab Emirates. He was an assistant there as well for a while, so it's not like he's not been in football at all. So he's been kept in the game. He knows German football. He was at Bayern München, remember, for a few seasons as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. But I totally agree with that. I think his lack of experience hopefully doesn't happen to that squad, the way they were playing, and you know, that nice young attacking youthful setup they had. So hopefully that'll stay the same. So yeah, definitely. I mean, there's definitely some. It's going to be interesting this year. So I think it was George you said earlier about there was only four managers who actually stayed in their post from the start of last season. You know, I think that was Matarazzo, Hoeneß, Streich, and Urspicher. I'm sure that's the four. It'll be interesting to see what happens this year. Other managers to maybe to give a wee shout to that are not like new, but I think Bo Svensson should have a good season. You know, he started really well when he came in the Rückrunde. The Mainz were just unstoppable, really. I'll be really interested to see how well Mainz do. I'm kind of interested to see where everyone puts them in like a prediction table, because they're just one of the teams you never know where they end up going to finish. But I'm going to put one more question to you before we move on from the manager point of view. Any tips on who you think might be the first one to get the sack this season, Colin? Come to you first. Who are you thinking will not manage past? Will not get to the Rückrunde. Let's go with that. Who do you think will not get to the Rückrunde?
It's hard to say because so many of the coaches are new, so they'll be afforded some patience, along with the coaches that came in sort of like Rückrunde time last year. I mean, they were brought in and perhaps saved the side from relegation, like a Frank Kramer, so they'll be given a bit more time, even if they do have a bad start. The likes of Bielefeld and Weinzierl Augsburg, for example. the main one that stuck out for me when I'm looking at my list of coaches of Bundesliga managers that I had to remind myself who's actually in charge of who, Sebastian Hoeneß. Yeah. I thought at times last season was really treading thin ice, could have easily been sacked, I thought, but Hoffenheim have afforded them some patience, given them a bit more time. They did well in Europe, but the league form was quite abject considering some of the personnel that they have. Did sort of really brought themselves to safety towards the end, but it was still an unsatisfactory season, really. So I think if Hoffenheim make another poor start, I'd say that Hoeneß would be under pressure.
Yeah, he's mine as well. I mean, I was going to go for Weinzierl as well. I think it just depends.
I was going to go for a second option there, but I'll let George go for him.
Okay. But yeah, Hoeneß was definitely one of mine. He stands out the most as someone that didn't really impress. I mean, the win over Bayern Munich at the start of the season, did they do anything else last year, Hoffenheim? Not really. They were kind of flattered to deceive quite a lot of the time as well with the results towards the end of the season. George, if you got one, yours wasn't Hoeneß, was it?
That's literally what I was going to say. Obviously, anything to get on a bit of hate towards Bayern, because I thought when Bayern's fire won the Dritte Liga, it was they didn't even really play terrific football all the time, and I was quite surprised at his appointment to Hoffenheim. I mean, I think any manager that oversees a 4-0 defeat to Schalke shouldn't really carry on in their Bundesliga post. But as Colin stole mine off the top of my head, I'd maybe say Dardai at Hertha. Hadn't really thought of him until I was just thinking about that now. But I think they just had a really strange season last year where it's had so much change and they kept sort of threatening to put in some good performances and finally achieve their big city club status. And they actually ended up securing safety quite easily towards the end of the season. And I'd just like to see some of their bigger players, especially Cunha, start to perform on a consistent basis, because that's the main thing I think of when I think about Hertha, is just their top players performing consistently. And you can kind of see that there's not really a winning mentality around that club yet. So I wouldn't be surprised if Hertha started the season poorly and then they once again, because we know how quick they are to dismiss their managers. So I wouldn't be entirely surprised to see him go as well.
Yeah, definitely. Are either of you worried for Stefan Leitl if Fürth really don't pick up anything once he gets to the Rückrunde, or do you think that the way he's been with the club for the past couple of years, and I think Matthew in his Bundesliga podcast, he talked about quite well when we spoke about it. When we had that podcast together, he just spoke up Leitl quite well as he's someone he thinks he can take the step up. Do you think if Fürth are struggling, no offense to Fürth or anything, assuming that we're going to struggle, but I think they will. Do you think the Leitl, Colin, for instance, think he'll be one that could be first to go, or do you think they'll maybe stick by him?
I think they'll stick by him. I'm not saying, I wouldn't rule out them sacking him during the season, but in the first half of the season, I can't really see it. I think they've given more time than that. There'll be a lot of people's favourites to finish bottom, I would say, in the league. But you never know. I mean, Bielefeld last season sacked Neuhaus, and I would never have foreseen that. I would have thought with all expectations, they would have stuck by him. But in terms of being the first man to go, I can't really see it. I'd say Hoeneß or like Sadar Diet Hertha would be under pressure more quickly if they do have a below par start.
Definitely. There could be a few in the chopping board quite quickly. But I don't know. I'm glad that no one mentioned Stefan Baumgart at all there. I don't know that everyone just likes him and you don't want to see him get sacked. But it'd be interesting to see how FC Köln got on. I think we'll talk about this more when we get into proper preview. But let's get into what happened at the weekend there. Obviously, like we mentioned at the start, quite difficult for you guys to watch the games. I managed to get to see every game, luckily, not to brag or anything with my Sky Ticket account. Well, I watched the conference on Saturday and Sunday, with the game on Friday and Saturday evening as well. Colin, you may as well be able to take the Schalke HSV game. Obviously, they started off the season. What was your thoughts on it? And do you think these are two teams that could be near the top come the end of the season? Or is it still far too early to tell, considering what these teams have been like in previous seasons?
It's too early to tell, just to make it's too early to make an assumption based on this game, but I mean, Schalke made such a great start in the game to roar their score, and surprise, surprise, in the Zweite Liga against his former team as well. But after that, they just never pushed on, were quite reluctant, quite passive, let Hamburg have a lot of the ball. Hamburg ended up enjoying the vast majority of possession as well, so don't think Schalke are really proactive enough. And Hamburg did deserve the win in the end, scoring the 3 second half goals. I think Schalke did make really good signings during the summer, but just with the atmosphere around the club and this sort of losing mentality, I was always worried for them. I think in my prediction during last week, I ended up putting them about 6th, which I can see them making reasonably poor start. I don't think Grimotsis will last very long. If I was to go for a first to be sacked in the Zweite Liga, he would probably be top of my list. But they should still have the quality to finish in the higher region of the league. They have made good signings like Bulta and solid Zweite Liga players like Victor Paulsen. But perhaps not this season in terms of promotion candidates. Hamburg, you never know. I mean, they always seem to make a decent start. They made a really good start last season after the first few games. But the same thing happened as the previous years, that they faltered towards the end. So I would never take Hamburg as dead certs to be going up until it was actually confirmed, just from past experience. But this was a good sign. I mean, one of the toughest games you could have had for the first match, and they went and won 3-1. So it's a really encouraging sign for Tim Walter, first game in charge.
Definitely. I mean, George, do you have anything else to add to that game, or do you want to take another game that impressed you over the weekend in Zweite Liga?
No, I mean, like Colin said, the mentality around Schalke was always an issue for was always going to be an issue for them. But I thought with 8 of the 11 players starting for them not having been there last season, and especially with them scoring so early on, I thought that they were sort of making strides. But I just thought we saw them become a lot more passive. And you could kind of tell, I mean, Fernandez made a really good save at 2-1 to sort of keep Haasfeld 2-1 up. But you could just kind of tell with the way that they kind of gave up towards the end of the match. It kind of reminded me of a lot of games last season where they would actually take the lead. And then it just seemed inevitable that they weren't going to be able to see it out. And then the other team would come back. I mean, I remember at one point last year, it was Hoffenheim. They were 2-0 up, I think, at halftime. And then just lost 4-2 and just crashed out in pretty emphatic fashion. Sort of reminded me a lot of that, despite the fact that they, in terms of players, a lot of them are sort of new to the team. And I would really like to see them get rid of that thing that seems to be looming over them. But like I was saying just at the start of the show, just there was nearly 20,000 fans in the stadium, and that was really good to see as well.
Yeah, 100%. I think, I don't know, keep with you, George, here, like the games that kind of I picked out were Regensburg winning 2-0, Dresden and St. Pauli both winning 3-0 at home. Anything from those games you picked out that went quite well? I thought, like, to see the goal that didn't stand for St. Pauli with Correa doing the bicycle kick, that was amazing. They could have stood for how good a goal it was.
Yeah, no, that was very impressive. And St. Pauli, of course, really impressive in that game against Kiel. But, I mean, for me, the game I was most interested in was Dresden against the horrible Ingolstadt. I said last week that I really backed Dresden this season. And I think they really had no place in the Dritte Liga last year. So it was really good to see them get off to the season to a great start. Christoph Daffner with a brace. He's actually the player that scored that goal against Duisburg last year, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah. He's a really good player, and they do play really good high scoring football. And it's good to see them take that into Zweite Liga. And of course, it's good to see Ingolstadt start off the season poorly, and how I hope that it will remain for them. But I'm not bitter, of course.
Not at all. Colin, are you on the St. Pauli's going to win the league again this early on in the season? But fine well knowing that probably I'm going to win the league just after that performance and result. I mean, it was really impressive against a Kiel side who could have been Bundesliga this year.
Yeah, it was a great result for them. I was really interested to see how Kiel would start the season. I mean, so many teams struggle after losing the relegation playoff game, and Kiel, to add to that, have lost really key players like Yanni Serra and Lee as well. But I thought that they made some decent signings like Patrick Eras and Stephen Skrzybski. Yeah, so I was interested to see how Kiel would react to that, and it seems really badly. But I don't know. I'm not sure how much to read into this one, probably. They did have a really good second half of last season after having such a good... Well, they had a really good middle section of the season, sort of fell away but towards the end. But Bergstaller coming into the team really benefited them. And hopefully if he's fit for the entirety of this season, he can continue firing for them. Other key players like Daniel Kofi Kiere saw his disallowed goal. It's a tragedy that I never stood, but oh well. You'd struggle. They could still struggle to find the consistency to win the league, but you can see them being a dark horse for being contenders for promotion.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be a really interesting one come the end of the season, like how well St. Pauli keep up with. Like when you start the season with a 3-0 victory, everyone instantly has their eyes on you. Like the first two we mentioned was the Dresden game and the St. Pauli game from the rest of them. So it'll be interesting to see towards the end of the year if they keep it up, like with the consistency, like you said. Your beloved Fortuna Düsseldorf beat my new beloved Sandhausen the weekend, Colin. I think you listened back and heard my ranting of how good the signings were for Sandhausen. They actually played really well for the first hour, I think. It was until they gave away did you see the penalty? That it was like basically two penalties he gave away. Like he kicked them once and then he went and he kicked them again and then the ref finally gave the penalty. It was like he gave away two in a row. It was a bit of a daft one for the, I think it was Diakate from Braunschweig, who just signed. Mm. So I mentioned him as a signing that could be a good one. But yeah, Düsseldorf picked up a 2-0 victory, which is good for them. Bit disappointed for Hansa, George, you know, they against Karlsruhe, because he looked okay in spells, but like to go out 3-1 defeated in what was nearly a full Ossie stadion as well. It's a shame that they've came back up and not managed to hold on to a win there.
Yeah, I mean, initially, I'd probably say that I'm the wrong person to ask if you're looking for any Hansa-related sympathy. And I wasn't especially sad to see them lose their first game until, I saw the fans in the stadium. Their fans are fairly fanatical and they always put on a good show. So I was sad to see them lose, but I reckon I'll get over it quite quickly.
Definitely. And Colin, probably the last game that's worth giving a good mention to is the Saturday night game. You know, with no Monday night games anymore, there's going to be a Saturday night game, which I thought it kind of didn't live up to its standards in some ways. It was a good game. I think Hannover played really well. Bremen kind of flattered the sieve at times. Don't know what you thought about that for Bremen. I won Hannover.
Yeah, I was interested to see how Werder would do as well. I think they've lost quality from their squad, lost Rashid Sub, but potentially not a bad thing. Sort of been a cloud hanging over him for the last sort of year or two. Clearly wanting away from the club. So now he's away, they can sort of finally move on from that. But it's a big game to start with, home to Hannover. But Hannover had coming on from a bad season last year, lost players themselves, the likes of Haraguchi, who was a really key player for them. I'm not really expecting much from them this season either. So I thought it was a good chance for Werder to get off to a winning start, but fortunately not. Interested to see how all of the so-called bigger clubs really, how they end up at the end of the season, if Werder will challenge for the top. Seeing a few people predict that they'll manage to get promoted, but you never know, the negative, is it similar to Schalke, just the negative mentality could continue from last season. It'll be hard for them to pick up this season, get into that frame of mind.
Yeah, definitely. I think most of the teams that people had tipped to be near the top, none of them won their game with their first opening game of the season. So it will be interesting. But like I said, Werder for me just didn't really impress me as much considering the squad they put out. You know, Füllkrug and Sargent up front, George, you're expecting them to score more goals than that, surely.
Yeah, Sargent, not so much. I've always been a fairly big critic of him. I feel like I'm speaking so negatively this whole podcast. And 1860 actually won at the weekend, so I've no reason to be so bitter.
Don't worry.
No, I mean, it's been the case with Bremen for the last couple of seasons of having high-profile players with a lot of potential that are just not performing, and it's sad to see that's perhaps happening again in the Zweite Liga. But on Sargent, I'm kind of half surprised to see that he's still there. There was a lot of talk about the fact that he was probably going to leave, which, like I said, seemed to me quite surprising because I've never really thought he was that good, to be honest. But yeah, hopefully for Bremen's sake, that the players that do have Bundesliga experience and potentially Bundesliga quality can pull out of the bag for them.
Definitely. I mean, we should probably mention the other two games slightly. Heidenheim 0, Paderborn 0, Nuremberg 0, Aue 0. We've got through all this Vita Liga. I felt like the guy, you know, at the end of like match of the day or like sports scene, and they go through all the scores at the end, and they just do it really slowly. But they say the full name. I always remember that when I was younger, and it was always Hamilton Academical 1. Not that Hamilton never scored. Anyway, moving on. I'm talking shit now. George, we come to our Dritte Liga correspondent, George. What happened in the Dritte Liga this weekend?
I'll try to make this as quick as possible, but no surprises where I'm going to start. And that is the 1860 getting on, like I said at the start, not an entirely convincing, but in the end, kind of lucky win 1-0 against Wolfsburg at home. It was just unbelievable to see around 4,000 fans back in the Grünwalder Stadion. Fairly interesting game. The thing that stands out for me is that our new players, especially Deichmann at right back and Marcel Bär up front, putting in really good performances. I mean, Bär was the man of the match, getting the only goal of the game. But the main sort of main highlight of this game has got to be the missed indirect free kick from Wolfsburg. Don't know if anyone's seen that. I retweeted it on Twitter, but that was quite a scene. But I'll move away from that. Good win for 1860. Probably the top spiel of the Dritte Liga would have been Braunschweig and Kaiserslautern playing out a very intense 0-0 draw. Kaiserslautern looking a lot sharper than they did last season. Were at times lucky with Koblanski hitting the post for Braunschweig. So they'll be happy with a draw, apart from the fact that Herrscher, who was one of their best centre-halves last season, got injured quite early on in the game. Magdeburg could be one of the other top teams in the league this year. Got a fairly comfortable win again, 2-0 against Mannheim. Attic as well, as we were talking about last week, got a goal and assist within the space of 3 minutes to get them over the line. And then the other sort of highlight for me would be the Victoria derby between newly promoted Victoria Berlin, getting their first ever Dritte Liga win against Victoria Köln, thanks in part to an absolute Traumtor from Janis Becker with his left foot. As a cracking goal on the volley. And then, although, you know, I like to keep dipping into Regionalliga, a really quick mention about Unterhaching, who I think we seemed to be a general consensus of being quite sad about them getting relegated at the end of last season. They started the season as follows with a 0-0 draw against Albstadt, 2-1 loss to Burghausen, and then they've just lost yesterday 5-1 at home to Nuremberg 2. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because there's now calls in the local media and around the club for Sandro Wagner, who's the current manager of Unterhaching, to come in as a player manager. So that's something to look out for. It'd be very, very interesting to see Sandro Wagner applying his trade in the Regionalliga Bayern.
That would be outstanding. Imagine that, Colin. Would you be watching the Regionalliga Bayern every week if that happened?
I tell you, I would watch an Amazon Prime documentary on Central Varna every day of the week. See a documentary, see just following Sandro Wagner as a player manager in the Regional Liga Bayern. I would.
Unreal.
That's worth the subscription fee alone.
Oh, definitely, definitely worth it for the year. I'd pay up front for the year. But yeah, nice one, George. Any other results there? You know, are you want to mention the Zwei teams at all? You know, with Dortmund getting the win there over Zwickau, and then the Freiburg team apparently playing quite well against Wien Wiesbaden, but we held to a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, I actually watched part of the Freiburg game and watched the highlights back. It was actually quite an exciting game against Wiesbaden, who I forgot to mention last week would probably be another contender in the Dritte Liga for me. Freiburg is a very technical side. BVB Zwei got a 2-1 win away to Zwickau, who put on a fairly impressive show, in the stands at least. But BVB came from behind with Toby Raschel scoring the winner, who has one appearance in the Bundesliga. So in my opinion, that should make his ability to play in the Dritte Liga null and void, but that's another conversation. So yeah, it was a very exciting start to the Dritte Liga. A lot of sort of crazy goings on. Just need to look at that indirect free kick, and a lot of teams laying a marker down. Havelse didn't quite get over the line, but yeah, Victoria Berlin would probably be the story of the week for me, getting their first ever Dritte Liga win in the Friedrichshain Sportpark. So yeah, that was good to see, especially to get a goal of that caliber. So that was their first ever goal in the Dritte Liga as well. So that's good to see.
Nice one. There we go. That is your Dritte Liga correspondent, George Balakrishna. So before we move on to the quiz and finish up, I'll just run through the Zweite Liga games coming up this weekend. Not that many people at home can actually watch any of them. I mean, if you've managed to find a way to watch them, let us know. We'll share it. Colin's desperate to watch it. George as well, desperate to watch all the games. But on Friday, you've got Karlsruhe against Darmstadt. It should be going ahead considering the COVID cases that came through. I think it was 3 or 4 players at Darmstadt again coming down with COVID, which is not good to see. Paderborn against Nuremberg, also on Friday night, 2 Friday night games for you there. Hannover 96 against Hansa Rostock, Jan Regensburg against my favourite Sandhausen. Ingolstadt, George's least favourite, against Heidenheim. And then you've got that bumper Saturday evening game of Collins Fortuna Dusseldorf against Ronin's Werder Bremen. For the first time, we've got a Ronin versus Colin derby, which is going to be exciting to see. So Fortuna against Werder, that could be an interesting game. And then Sunday, you've got some interesting games coming up on Sunday. Holstein Kiel against Schalke 04, HSV against Dynamo Dresden, and Erzberg Auer will host Tabletoppers St. Pauli. Any game stand out for you lads there? The Fortuna
have to look at Fortuna and Werder. It's a massive game. Fortuna making that great away start, but it'd be interesting to see how they fare against one of the actual teams, actual big teams, and not your big teams, Sandhausen. And also HSV Dresden. From that, it would be interesting to see if HSV can get their revenge from the Pokal game at the start of last season. Remember, that was a great watch. It was a 4-1 win for Dresden, knocking HSV out. So we'll see how that goes as well.
Yeah, definitely. But a good couple of games coming up. Looks like a good Zweite Liga weekend to be had. Again, I'm sure the Dresden Liga will be also as exciting as well, George, but I'm not going to run through all their games. So hopefully you can find yourself one of the games over the weekend, manage to get yourself looking. I think we just read somewhere live breaking news that the Premier Sports might be taking on the Pokal. So we'll clarify that when we find out the proper information. But that'd be quite good because the Pokal's on the following week as well. So we'll talk about that next week's podcast. But yeah, hopefully if you get to find any games, should be some crackers on over the weekend coming. But we'll finish things up It feels like a long podcast today. Not for you guys, because we've edited this to make it sound a lot shorter than it has been. We've been on here for like an hour and a half, and it's definitely not an hour and a half long podcast. So, George, you're going to take us away for the quiz this week. You have been given the Quizmaster rights, and it's myself and Colin again for the first time in a long time. So I'm looking forward to losing.
Yeah, thanks for that. So as I keep mentioning this week, it's been really good to see the fans back in the stadium. I think for all of us, it's probably one of the main things that attracts us to German football is the fan culture and the passion of the fans and the sort of tradition involved with all the clubs. So got me thinking about the biggest games in Germany, which obviously the derby games. So I have a list in front of me of the, I want to say, all of the established derbies in Germany that are recognized as derbies by whoever the authorities are for German football derbies. And I've actually got two lists to sort of have a bit of a crossover. And I believe that it's fairly exhaustive. So I'm going to put a timer on. Well, I should probably announce you can figure out what the game is. It's to basically, it's to name as many derbies as you can in the 10 minutes that you allotted. And you score an extra point for name giving, because they've all got a name, obviously. Yeah. If you can...
Did I really get these all wrong?
I would say a clue is that almost exclusively all of the names of the derbies is to do with where they are.
Okay. Are we jumping in or do we got to go each?
What do you think works best?
I go each.
It was pretty chaotic last time.
I'll get messy. Okay. Let's go each.
Okay, yeah. And I hope there won't be as sort of chaotic and awful as last week's. So, good question. There's probably like 14, maybe more.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Right, it's 10 minutes starting now.
Who's going first?
You can go first, mate.
Okay.
You need the handicap.
I may as well stick to home a little bit, and I'll go to Hamburger Stadt Derby between HSV and St. Pauli.
1 point.
Oh, that's 2 points. Hamburger Stadt Derby.
Sorry. 2 points. You get. Keep me on my toes. Well done. I'm actually keeping a check of the scores this time.
Okay.
Nuremberg and Greuther Fürth, the Franken Derby.
That's a good one, yeah.
See, there's so many of these ones, and I don't know which one's which, but this Rhein Derby, Köln and Gladbach.
The Rhein is.
Oh, no, don't say that. That's right. That's cool. That's Rhein Derby.
Okay. I'll accept it. I'll accept it.
Dortmund and Schalke, the Revere Derby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of worried I'm going to get this wrong, but Magdeburg and Dresden's El Clasico, but the Elbe Derby.
Ah, oh, just going to jump in there.
Have I got that wrong?
Well, they are two big Eastern teams, but I think Magdeburg's main rival is not Dresden.
Is it on the list? Is it on the list then, Magdeburg's main derby?
Yeah.
Magdeburg and Halle?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you want to have a go at what that was called?
Oh, where is that? That's Sachsen Anhalt.
Oh, terrific. He never disappoints.
I was going to... I thought Dresden and Magdeburg was the Elbe Derby. Okay.
All of the big clubs in the former East Germany have a bit of a thing against each other, but in terms of proximity, Magdeburg and Halle is the one, that one.
Okay. I'm going to just give a guess that FSV Frankfurt and Eintracht Frankfurt's the Frankfurt Derby. Like a point at least.
That's not
on the list. Fuck.
It's not on the list. Frankfurt have got two bigger rivals than FSV Frankfurt.
Eintracht Frankfurt and Darmstadt is the Hessen derby.
It's not on my list, but it does make sense.
Come on,
it's not on your list. Who wrote your list?
Come on,
I've got two lists. All right, I'll accept that.
Right, I'm going to assume that this is the right one then. Eintracht Frankfurt and Mainz.
Yes, that one is.
Darmstadt's a bigger rival from than Mainz.
That one is known as the Rhein-Main derby. So
I'm going to say that if you let me finish. Okay, Colin.
You remember Darmstadt played Frankfurt in the Bundesliga for the first time in years, and they're all like burning each other's flags and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Union and Hertha, the Berlin derby.
Yeah, very good. Berliner derby.
HSV and Bremen, Nord derby.
Yeah.
You sound so unsure about that.
It's because I'm trying to keep track of the scores at the same time, which I didn't do last time.
Bayern and 1860, the Münchener derby.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, this is when it gets fun.
There's another one for Eintracht, if you care.
Eintracht Wiesbaden?
No.
Okay.
Frankfurt and Frankfurt and Kickers Offenbach.
Jackpot! Absolute jackpot!
Is that a mind derby?
Does that have a name?
That is called according to this list, which is called derbies.org. It's a German website. That is called the Hessen Derby.
That's the Hessen derby.
Okay, right. I'll read what this says about the Hessen derby. I'm translating it, but it says Eintracht Frankfurt have a lot of rivals in the surrounding area of the biggest city in Hessen. One of them is perhaps their biggest rival is Kickers Offenbach. They're mostly in different leagues, with Eintracht often a lot higher. So that's why it's not as well known.
Okay. I've got a new one.
But apparently the actual overall record is in favour of Kickers Offenbach. But carry on.
Thank you for that. I am going, fun facts with George. I am going to go for the Niedersachsen derby of Hannover 96 and Eintracht Braunschweig. Don't you dare tell me that's not on your list.
Yeah, no, that's on my list. That's on my list, don't worry.
Stuttgart and Karlsruhe.
Mm-hmm.
The Baden-Württemberg derby.
Yeah. I'm just checking that again. Because I've got two lists here. I'm just checking the names, but yeah. That's good.
It's Koblenz in there. I'm just looking at areas of Germany now. Is Koblenz there? No.
I can tell you that Koblenz is not to be found on my list.
I'm going to say the Eiffel Derby or something like that, you know, figure something out there.
Of the top five, according to this list, you're missing one.
Is the other one like the other Das Rhein derby, Köln and Leverkusen? Köln and Fortuna?
No, I think
I've kind of said two. Colin, you can go, sure. He's going to say mine.
Dresden and Auer?
No, that's not on it. But like I said, all the teams that are in the east, you could probably call them a derby, like the big ones in the east, like that. That's again not on my list, but
Bochum and which one? Rot-Weiss Essen, the Ruhr derby. Or Dusseldorf and Rot by Sess in the Royal Derby.
Right, we're just shouting out now. what's going on here? Right, God. In that case, Stuttgart and Bayern.
No, there's another one with Bayern that's not Stuttgart.
Nuremberg and Bayern.
Yeah.
Bayern Derby.
Yeah, that's well, it's known as the Frankish Bayerisches Derby.
Frankish, yeah.
Well, you don't get a point for that if you said it first. Can I just ask, were any of my Ruhrgebiet ones right? No.
No.
Well, I suppose you probably could potentially say Köln and Leverkusen, but it's not. No.
Bochum aren't in the list at all.
Isn't the thing of Bochum that like no one really cares about them?
Yeah. Like I was going to say another team, like the team I'm wearing, but I feel like Armenia.
Yeah, they do have one. Armenia definitely have one.
Munster, Bielefeld and Munster.
Yeah, Preußen and Munster. Yeah.
Come on, this is
my Westfalen derby.
Yeah, well, Westfalen. Yeah.
Hmm. And their rivals Osnabrück as well. Where's the Ava when you need a Paderborn and Verl? I just think that these are close to each other. Has Valorant on there again, are they? Like, because they've got a big rivalry back, shouldn't they? They're not.
Did you pick did you get the one with Magdeburg or not? No.
Yes.
The Elbe Derby.
Yeah, okay.
Magdeburg and Halle. Dresden and Hansa Rostock.
It's coming under the same reasoning that I keep repeating that I'm not sure it's not on my list, but obviously as two big teams in the East, they have a
Hansa Rostock and Zink Pauli.
He's adamant to get one of these East teams in, isn't he?
That's not on my list.
Is that right?
Keelan Haas, well, Keelan involved near Lubeck.
Nah, no, Kaiserslautern and Waldhof Mannheim.
Yeah.
No. Oh,
Derby.
Oh.
Okay, Kaiserslautern and Karlsruhe.
That's it. We're up. Apparently Kaiserslautern do have a derby with Eintracht Frankfurt.
No.
Yeah, it says here. There are derbies that don't often seem at first look like derbies. In this case, the city's located 100 kilometers from another, but they still have developed a derby over time. I mean, Crystal Palace and Brighton have a derby, so.
Is I know we're finished, but is Freiburg and Stuttgart one though?
Nah.
I don't know. It's not really a strong feeling.
When I said Lubeck, you went Lubeck.
Yeah, well, Kiel.
I said that.
Did you? I thought you said Lubeck.
I went Hasval, Kiel, Lubeck, and then you just...
right.
Schleswig-Holstein derby. I could have got 2 points.
That's a handball derby. That's not a football derby.
Flensburg, Kiel's a handball derby. Okay, right, sorry. But like, you go back into it, like, to the, like, you can say what the scores are and stuff. You can introduce it again.
Okay. So after a fairly hectic 10 minutes, we have arrived at the end with the scores that may what?
I've got no idea who won. Do you know, Colin? I was not keeping track.
I'm guessing I won. But
oh, you're talking about
stupid, but I don't. If I don't win, I'm going to be really annoyed that Frankfurt and Darmstadt didn't count.
I'm going to be annoyed at half the ones I said didn't count.
I feel like one of those like boxing referees announcing the winner here, but the winner by unanimous decision is Colin.
Yes, come on, yes. All right, that's
scored 19 points, which is actually really impressive. To be fair, against Roy's potentially contested 11.
Well, you get 19.
Because I got a lot of the names as well.
Yeah.
I got all the names for the ones I guessed. I guess derbies that you said were on your list.
I accept that I was staying true to my list, and that a lot of the things we're saying about the former East German clubs would count as derbies. But I think a derby in this sense needs to have a name
Okay. But Bielefeld and Osnabrück is right. Bielefeld and Osnabrück are like easy. Come on. Right, anyway. So that was a good fun episode that took us nearly 2 hours of recording for what is probably going to only be an hour, which is very exciting for you guys to find out. You know how good we are at editing now, knowing that we've been here for so long. But yeah, it was a good weekend to open up the Zweite Liga and the Dritte Liga. And next week, I think we'll maybe look at the Pokal coming up for the match days coming up after that. And then next couple of weeks, if people are interested, we can do some kit reviews and other things to do with fantasy football as well. Nothing to do with any Amazon Prime documentaries coming up anytime soon. But until then, guys, we'll see you then.